Furman, Pennsylvania Canal Society, and we have Lance Metz here from Humor Park and Canal Museum, and the date is December 7th, 1993, and we are talking to
Anna K. Shoutis, who has lived along the canal all of her 88 years.
Can you give us your present address, please?
It is Mount Air Road, Washington's Crossing, Pennsylvania. I've had three different addresses and I have not moved from the place where I am now living.
Before we begin, you had mentioned where we were testing that you shot
the Scudder's Falls. When I was young and foolish, one of the great ambitions, if you could learn to swim, you could shoot the falls at Scudder's Falls in a canoe. And so I inveigled one of my young swains to take me to shoot the falls. And it was kind of an experience because you had to know how to go through the rocks at Scudder's Falls. And so we did it one lovely summer afternoon, and I went through, the canoe did not upset, I came through high and dry, and it was a wonderful experience. I wouldn't say I wanted to do it again, but I did enjoy it. But that was one of the people that lived along the river, and lived along, spent their summers on the islands in the Delaware, would learn to shoot the falls. Not everyone knew how to do it because many a canoe was capsized.
But I heard more problems with Wells Falls at Newhook.
Well, the Wells Falls were much more dangerous.
Yeah.
They were much more dangerous because I think they were longer. The Scudder's Falls, I think when the water power, to divert the water into the water power, they had put a partial dam there, and that had kind of taken away some of the force of the falls. It didn't make them quite as wide, but we did it by our Willis Island is at the foot of Mount Air Road. And it was I recommend you to do it if you're daring. In those days, I loved the river.
How did you first remember the canal? What was your first experience with the
canal?
Well,
I lived along the canal. My father's home was what they called Robin's Nest, but the boatman called it the Milk House. It was about a mile above the Borden Lock, which is the second lock above above Yardley. It's at the foot of what, the nine mile level.
Now, what was your father's name?
My father's name was William Kirkbride.
Okay. Well, what was your mother's name?
Estella Kirkbride.
Estella Kirkbride.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she was a teacher. My father was a farmer. And when the boatman, my first recollections of the canal was seeing the canal boats pass. We thought nothing of them. We heard the mules with their bells tingling, and we thought nothing of it. But it was just part of our lives. My mother taught me very early that the canal belonged to her, and that you could not, so we wouldn't go near it. She would not put a fence up along the canal, but so that we would not go near the canal. The canal was hers. You didn't go over the canal bridge unless you walked right in the middle of the bridge. And I taught that to my own children and to my grandchildren, that you walk in the middle of the bridge. But the canal has lots of wonderful memories.
Didn't your father board mules?
Well, now what? Now I was going to tell you this, that when they would come, especially on the weekends, when the boatmen would come and see the locks were closed and they couldn't go down to Bristol over the weekend. So if they were in the area Saturday nights, they would tie up either at the small barn that they held down at Frank Borden's barn down at the locks, and if there were more than that, then they would tie up at my father's. And I can remember seeing five or six canal boats tied up at my father's, and the mules were stabled in the barn, and they were given hay and oats, and I think he charged 25 cents a night for a mule. And of course they had cows, and so they had milk and they had eggs. And many of the boatmen we became quite friendly with, and enjoyed them even after they had stopped boating. The Howard Gaddis and some of the other people that I remember, the people that lived up at New Hope, right at the bend of the trolley. I think of their names right this minute, but they had a quite a family of boys, and they all became boatmen. And then, going back to my story with Saturday, Sunday, they would be there all day, and the men would come over and sit on the porch and visit, or my father would go. They had a plank, and you could walk the plank over onto the canal bridge, the canal boats, and it was kind of fun. I learned to jump from one canal boat to the other when I was quite young. And they, as I said, they called it the milk house. And then on Monday mornings, you would hear their the conch shells being blown, and they were blowing for Frank Borden to open the gates of the lock. And because they used to start blowing them about Mount Air Bridge. But it was kind of an interesting thing. When my brother, who was 5 years older than I is, thought one day he would go fishing off of one of the canal boats because he could get into the middle of the canal. And so he had a little straw hat on. My mother said, I don't remember this. He had a little straw hat on his fishing pole. And somehow or other, he got his feet tangled up in the fishing line, and he landed in the canal. And Howard Gaddis was up two or three boats above, and he saw the little boy fall in, and he rushed down through the across the boat and dove in and saved Robert's life, really, because it was, and we always felt that was a wonderful thing to do, but that was one of the things that I remember keenly, the kindness of the boatmen. And sometimes in summertime, they would have their families on the boat. And of course, I remember the boatmen with having their little boys drive the mules in the summertime. And I can remember one time that a mule decided it had gone far enough, and it rolled down the bank and went into the canal, and the men had to get the mule out of the canal. If you've ever known anything about a stubborn mule, there's nothing more stubborn than a mule. And sometimes the language of the boatman was more expressive than elegant. And you could hear them sometimes with their language when they were finding fault with the mule. They weren't going fast enough, or they were going too fast. And it was interesting to see how the boats would pass. The canal was just wide enough for boats to pass. And it would be a full boat going down, an empty boat going up, and how they would have to get the tow line over one boat over the other. That was kind of an interesting thing to see. And the boatmen were very nice. They would swing the boat towards shore with their tiller, and you could get on, and we could ride the full boat down to the lock, and then get an empty boat coming back. And then you would have to jump up onto the bridge, which was, I never could quite make jumping up onto the bridge, so they always used to have to help me up. But that was one of the things that we as children could do with the friendly boatmen.
Was there any boatmen that you ran into who weren't friendly?
I don't remember, because they weren't the ones that stopped. Most of the boatmen were very friendly that we knew, and most of them, the men were doing the boating in summertime, and the women were little gardens and little patches at Ewertown or Smithtown or some of the various homes up there.
Can you put some years to these experiences?
Well, I lived there. I came up there when I was 9 months old, and so I practically lived there until the canal stopped boating. And the last boats that I remember going up were taking stone from this quarry down to build the Betsy Ross Bridge Foundation.
Now, which quarry is that?
Right across the road here. It was the Eastburn, John Eastburn ran the quarry, or not John Eastburn, but Charlie Eastburn in Yardley owned the quarry, and he furnished the stone for the trolley tracks, for the ballast on all the trolley tracks. Later than that, the WPA took it over, and they used it for building this road, and then the stone was sold out of that for the building the big rocks for the Betsy Ross Bridge.
Yeah, but the WPA was after the canal closed.
So no, they still took the canal, but they still took the WPA, cracked some of the stone, but they still, I guess they did, but they had to, the WPA had to take the stones out of the canal because they had stones, well, they didn't know how to dynamite them, and they had stones in the canal that were almost as big as a house, and they had to take them out to let the water flow. But I guess the WPA did do that. But the last real canal boats, I guess it went down with the ones for the Betsy Ross Bridge.
Now, are you referring to Betsy Ross or Ben Franklin Bridge?
Ben Franklin, the
big suspension bridge, you mean?
Yes.
The Ben Franklin Bridge.
Ben Franklin.
That's a Ben Franklin Bridge.
Well, that would be when?
1927.
27? Oh, I thought it would be later than that. When was the Betsy Ross Bridge?
Not to the 50s.
Not to the 50s.
Tacony Pomara, maybe.
It was. They always said the Betsy Ross Bridge, but you think it must have been the Ben Franklin Bridge.
Ben Franklin Bridge, because that was the first bridge across the Delaware in Philadelphia.
And the second one was Tacony Pomara, but I think it was a little later.
That was the 40s.
Well, but that was where the stone went out of this. They stopped using the stone here because it became slate and it was too sharp out of this quarry. But our fields used to be filled with big pieces of stone that they didn't know how to dynamite. When Charlie Eastburn worked the quarry, he had a dynamite man from York County come, or Adams County, and he could put a load of dynamite in and the stones would just fall right down into the quarry. And we didn't have any trouble. But that time, the stone on the quarry was used for trolley cars, for the flat cars. The canal boats did not do that. They were still carrying coal.
Do you remember any other cargoes besides stone and coal on the canal?
I don't know. We never knew what they had in there on there.
Oh, because the hatches were
closed.
Now, you mentioned going for short rides on the canal boat. Did you ever take rides any long distance, like down to Bristol and back?
No, we never did. My mother wouldn't let me do anything like that. But, I mean, now, they had the work scows, and I remember when they came and repaired the bridges, and the work scow would come, and it would have the scaffolding, and they could repair. See, the canal company had to keep the bridges in repair because a lot of the people, that was their only exit to the main road, and they came about once a year, once in 2 years, and did all the underpinnings and so on of the bridges. And then they also, they had the other scow that did the dredging. And that was always kind of interesting. Going to school, you know, you'd see these men working and so on, and to see the big buckets, and they would take the spits of land that the creeks had washed down out of the soil and make the channel deeper. Because the canal, I guess, it drew, what, 6 feet?
Yes. They tried to keep it there.
6 feet in the middle.
6 feet in the middle. And it was clear. I learned to swim in the canal. I learned the canal was nice and clear water, and it was running all the time.
Do you remember any accidents besides the one you just told us about, the mules that you saw on the canal?
We never had I don't know of any accidents, excepting the mules would kind of, you know, get rambunctious, and once in a while a mule would break loose, but not, I wouldn't call them serious accidents. And with the poor little muleteer running after them. But it was, they were colorful, a lot of people. They really and truly were.
How were the boatmen and the captains and mule drivers dressed?
Usually with dungarees, we call overalls, bib overalls, straw hats in the summertime, and gingham shirts or chambray shoes.
Long sleeves, probably long because
sleeves,
of the mosquitoes.
Long sleeves, and they, there was always the, I guess you would call him the captain of the, of the boat, and he usually ran the tiller. He very seldom got out and walked on the towpath. And it was interesting when they would come to the overflows, the mules walked through the water, but they had a wooden plank that the mule driver walked over. And we had an overflow right below us here in Floodgates. And when the water got high, Mr. Borden's job was always to open the floodgates and let it go down into the river, because it was the termination of a creek.
Now, in addition to boarding the mules, did your father and mother sell things to them?
Well, if we had vegetables, but see, most of these boatmen were farmers, and they had their own things, and they had their own chickens. Sometimes they would have chickens on the boat, but you see, the trip from eastern Lehigh Valley, Lehigh Canal, some of these men, of course, came down the Lehigh, and then at Easton came down into the Delaware Lehigh Canal. I guess our canal is called the Delaware Lehigh, doesn't
it? No, just Delaware Canal.
Delaware begins at Easton and ends at Bristol.
The Delaware begins at Easton and
ends
at Bristol.
Yeah.
But they had, as I understand it, they used to come down the Lehigh Canal and into the Lehigh River, and then like that, and then they could go over on a cable to New Jersey.
Right. What happened? Right. In fact, all the water above New Hope in the Delaware Canal is all drawn off from the Lehigh at Easton.
It was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The canal's a little bit dirtier further upstream because the Lehigh water is full of coal.
Yes. Well, we always watched them. If they had high water, we had black water from the coal. And we always watched the river. When the Lehigh, when the coal came down, you know, you just kind of watched the coal come down.
Did you ever get coal from the canal boats?
No, because that was, as I understand it, they were weighed in with so much coal. Now, I understand that some people did. But that was kind of not, I would say, cricket.
Mm-hmm.
They were not supposed to sell coal to the people. And my father never bought any coal from them.
Now, you mentioned Oscar Gaddis. He was he was famous for having his own...
Howard Gaddis,
okay.
There was another, I guess it was a brother, too.
Oscar ran the boatyard and Howard boated.
Uh-huh.
Did you have much contact with Howard Gaddis?
A lot.
What was he like?
He was he was a wonderful man. I really and truly, the only thing I can ever heard my parents talk about, he was such a nice person.
Do you ever remember hearing any stories from him?
At that time I was young, I don't remember that. We had a one man in later years, and I don't even remember what his name was. I don't know that we ever knew many of the people, but that I knew many of it. There was a Whiskey Jack Miller was one of them, and there were some brothers. There were a couple of brothers that used to boat.
Well, it was Whiskey Jack Miller.
Not Howard Swope.
No.
There was Howard was a kid. There was the Winters boys, John Winter and Bill Winters.
They're the Winters, yeah. They were the ones that Levi. Now, Levi I knew, and they eventually worked for my father on the highway, but he working at Lefty was farming and worked on the highway. But Levi was a little bit older than I was.
There were quite a number of the Winters boys. Johnny Winter, Levi Miller,
Winters.
Bill Winters. They started the canal barge ride, which is the scow ride, actually, is the proper term for it, at New Hope.
Yes. Well, the scows, I remember very often they would have they would call them barge parties, out of Yardley. If somebody wanted to throw a nice party, they would have a barge party, and they would have music, a wind-up Victrola, you know, and things like that, and we'd hear it. And once in a while, there would be, in later years, there would be a motorboat on the canal, but not very often.
No, the canal's not built for motorboats.
It wasn't built for motorboats. But the canal was pretty. And we felt safe walking the towpath. I walked the towpath some to school because it was kind
of... Where'd you go to school?
Taylorsville. In the old school of Taylorsville, which is now the Princeton Bank.
Yeah.
Okay. I went there for my elementary education, which was 2 miles.
How'd you feel when the canal closed? Were you sad?
Yes, it was a closing of an era. It was just like when the trolleys stopped and the canal stopped. It was a closing of an era and a closing of a pace that we enjoyed. They were never annoyances to us. They never were.
Did the conch shells wake you up, though?
No,
that
didn't.
4 in the morning and
no,
10
but
at
I
night?
Listen, I always tried to blow a conch shell, and I never could manage to do it. But they did. They could really... You could. It's kind of a haunting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They would start at 4 in the morning, wouldn't they, to get the lock open?
I don't know. Frank Boyden had definite times when he would open the lock.
Did you ever help them to work the lock at all?
No. We did. The interesting thing was, Frank Boyden and his wife were married the same day that my mother and father were married, which was an interesting thing. They always had a... And of course, in winter...
His wife was a Lear.
I don't know who his wife
was. Yeah, it was, you know, Lear's...
Lock,
wife,
uh-huh.
Gordon was Lear's brother-in-law.
I didn't know that.
We have a tape from Chester Lear.
From Chester Lear, mm-hmm. Well, his, the whole Gordon family, you know, Edna and young Frank and Cora, and there's one more girl.
Well, no, don't know the whole names of them now.
There was one more girl. And of course, they worked down at the Bleachery, but their house, of course, now is torn down. And the lock is concrete, isn't it? So you don't have any gates?
Yeah, there's just a concrete dam at the upper end of the spillway.
Right.
They've done that with most of the locks.
And use the floodgates to...
They have a concrete wall at the upper end of the lock, and they just have a gate in that concrete they can raise and lower. The spillway's closed. Mm-hmm. There's nothing left of it.
It was interesting to go through the locks because the feeling of going down, we would go through the locks. It was very interesting to do that.
How long would it take you to walk through? Do you remember? How long would it take you to walk through?
Children don't have any idea of time like that. It would be a more... to take the canal boat ride down to the lock and get back again, it would be a good morning. You know, you'd have to have agreeable boatmen. You know, you'd have to be sure that you had agreeable boatmen because Otto didn't want to be bothered with kids.
Well, some of the kids hung onto the boats when they swam. Did you do that?
No.
Some of the boys didn't.
I imagine so. It was too dangerous. Would be too dangerous. The canal was kept really very clean, and it had a nice muddy bottom, which the river didn't have. The river had stones.
Yeah.
Did you know any of the maintenance people who worked on the canal?
Well, we knew Frank Ziegfuss very well. Frank Ziegfuss very well.
All right.
There. Now, he was what? He was over Frank Boyden.
He was a maintenance. He was the bank boss.
Bank boss.
He made quite a number of very detailed models after we retired. Mm-hmm. Now we have them all at our museum.
He and his wife lived in Yardley there, and we knew them quite well. And through the Methodist, they were members of the Methodist Church, and we did know them. But it was since we went up to Makefield to meeting, where I that was another world. Of course, going to school there, why I did know, you know, some of those, but I knew Chester Lear and those people. That was a...
Do you remember any of the floods of damaging the canal at all?
Well, I had the flood of 55 when the bank went out above here at the Becky's up here at Washington's Crossing. I remember that. I was always apprehensive of when we'd have high water that the bank would hold. And it always seemed to, since my mother's father's house was right on the canal. You see, it's the next bridge up. And but we never had any leakage in that house from the canal. Now, it's interesting that when the canal has water in it, we have water in our swamp, thanks to the muskrats. But when Frank Borden was living, he trapped the muskrats. That was one of the things that Frank did. I think he trapped the muskrats from maybe Yardley or Woodside Road up to Washington's Crossing and got a good many muskrats.
And got a nice piece of change.
Yes, and got a nice piece of change out of that. And as long as he lived, why, the muskrats we didn't have trouble with. But after he was gone, why then the muskrats took over. And we still have muskrat runs. We have muskrats in our swamp now that they've taken over the swamp.
It
is now called wetlands, not a swamp.
Oh, yeah.
There's a marker out here that says, I think, 17. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean it's 17 miles from where?
Bristol.
From Bristol up to
the canal is started measured at Bristol and goes up. The locks also start at Bristol. And
I know.
Higher, goes higher, further north you go.
Instead of coming from Bristol, from New Hope down or from
Easton
down.
Now, the first contract was let from Bristol for 17 miles, and they kept building from there.
Well, the reason why I said that, this last spring when my son was home and he wanted to walk between the two places, why, we saw the mile marker.
Where
there.
Is it, right along the towpath?
Uh-huh. Right out in the middle of the towpath. One of the scouts did it.
Is it the original one? Or
it's one that he has just done, I think.
Oh, just done.
Okay. And it's sticking right out in the middle of the thing. Now, of course, there always used to be a path so that the horses could walk along the towpath. And when they went under this bridge, they had to kind of, it was always lower, and they had to go out into the water. And nowadays, they don't want to do that, and they come around. And, of course, down here, so that the people that live down here are where Borden's and those people live, so that they can get out in times of high water, they have some gates or some posts stuck in the ground here that can be lifted up, and they can get out this up and
down. Yeah, that's both so they can get out and also to keep other people from driving on the...
Well, now, why did Norman White, I want to know this, why did Norman White, after all these years, have a right to put a fence across the canal down there?
He doesn't. He probably got one of the letters last week.
Yeah, I'm
well,
sure
he is dead.
Did.
He is dead now, and the house has been, the place has been sold. But I wondered because I thought they used to, you know, mow, and they would come right on through. But somebody said now that was so that, you know, they would come up his driveway and then go up or down the.
Well, it's not permitted, and there were some letters went out last week to 700 people.
Betty Orleman got one.
Who?
Betty. She's the one that founded the
Friends of Delaware Canal.
Well, and May Bunkin, who's the big wheel in the Yardley Historical Association, got one because apparently, in addition to a couple of inches out now because the bank deteriorated.
Well, when my mother just mowed the towpath in front of her house to make it look pretty, she used to fuss with the man that mowed the bank, because just about the time the daylilies were out, he would mow them down, and he said, leave them be until after they bloom, and then I will mow them down.
How did your mother mow? Did she have a little mower or a little hand mower?
A little hand mower. She mowed it with a hand mower.
How did the company mow it?
Well, they had I guess when they mowed it, they had a motorized mowing machine of some sort.
Motorized or horse drawn?
I never saw horses on it. I never saw the.
That's pretty early. It must have been a tractor.
Yeah. It was a tractor. That's right. It was a tractor that he mowed. And they now, of course, when my boys were home, they kept the branches off of the. It isn't really safe to walk on it now because the branches are. They used to throw them down in our swamp over the bank. Now, if they dredge the canal again, what are they going to do with the dirt? They used to put it over on the berm side or on the towpath.
It's a kind of a mixed story. They have been putting it on the berm side in certain places. They've got a permit again from the
Corps
of Engineers and the dredge is working again, and they can now do maintenance again.
Where are they dredging?
I think around Washington Crossing, but I'm not sure. That was the worst spot.
They used to use it to widen the towpath to make it safer.
They've also got some contracts. Well, I don't know if they've used them at all, but they had some contracts with haulers to haul it completely away.
Well, I would think that they could use it to fill in where the banks are weak.
They now have to fight with the Federal Corps of Engineers and the State Historical Museum Commission, who have become the ultimate experts. Moving anything and putting anything anywhere. It's a real hassle.
I know, because we got into that with going to the library. We were willing to have it on our meeting house grounds and fix it up very inexpensively, and the historical people came in and they wanted oodles and oodles of money to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have another question to ask. The deed on this place went from the middle of the canal to the low Marmar to the Delaware.
90% of the deeds read that way.
Whoever wrote them didn't have the right to do it.
Therefore, we're paying, that is considered in my son's ground. And he's paying taxes on it. And he's been paying, and he owns from the canal up, from the bridge up to the, because I gave him that ground.
Well, the story is that the state cleared the canal property by agreements with all of the people along the canal back in the 1830s. Any deed that was written after that time is not valid to the center of the canal. The state owns the towpath, and if it goes down the wetland to the bottom of the drop-off, that belongs to the state. And those deeds have no validity, say, to the middle of the canal, because any right to that was extinguished by agreement, not by deed. That's right. Where the property problem comes in.
In
the 1830s.
And the state had a court ruling in the 1970s. I'm trying to think who was involved.
Oberdorfer?
Bill Oberdorfer, right. Bill Oberdorfer. They had a court case clarifying that.
Well, I just wondered because they always would, that was counted in with our acreage, and I didn't understand it.
Well, you might make an appeal to the tax collectors and assessors, but...
They're not going to do anything with it because we fought with them. We are assessed at developers' prices, and there's not anything you can do about it. But I just wondered, because we do own to the low water mark in the Delaware, which gives us riparian rights.
Okay.
And that's
but you only own
to the
bottom of the drop well when the tow path, if it's wetland.
Mm-hmm. But they used to always, when they dredged the canal, they used to put the dirt over on the canal, and on the towpath side, and made the towpath wider, and it kept the bank stronger.
I don't think they're allowed to do that
now.
They've been putting some of it on the berm side where there's depression.
But it seems to me,
that's limited.
To me, it is logical to fix up the, to take that dirt out of the canal.
Well, they don't have, logic has nothing to do with it.
Oh, no, I know. Listen, I was told by the powers that be in Doylestown that I have shale soil. Now, if you know anything about it, this is river bottom.
Mm-hmm.
This is river bottom. It's
right.
Gravel. But no, I fought with the, when we had a perk test here, she vowed and declared, the map said it was shale.
Well, it may be under the river bottom. We got river bottom too down where we are today.
But
and, there's 6 or 8 feet of it where our house is.
Right.
It's closer. But you get back in the woods and there's only like a foot and a half.
No, but I said,
but down where we are, it's stones and so forth underneath.
I will agree, I said, that across the canal you have shale.
And
well,
if you
said,
go down deep enough, you probably find it, which
well,
you've got feet of.
Listen, we have about over 100 foot of river bottom because according to the geologist from Duke University, this is river bottom.
Okay.
And I told him, well, you go back to Doylestown and change the map.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I think we're going to have to thank her.
Yes, we're going to have
final question.
One final question. Is there anything else that you remember about the canal that you haven't talked about yet?
Well, I hated to see the canal close. I really and truly did. And I still hate to see it because I think it could be a lovely waterway if it were kept full. I learned to skate on it. It was a wonderful skate. The only thing I had that Mr. Borden always let the, just about the time we got good ice to skate on, he would let the water out. And then the ice would crack and go down.
Oh. That's a good final story.
And
yeah.
But I used to skate to school on the canal.
Let it out because
so
they're probably doing maintenance.
Right, right.
Yeah,
so you skated to school in the wintertime?
I skated to school on the wintertime, and my whole family would skate on the canal. We had skating parties there,
mm-hmm.
And it was really wonderful because I could go right out the down. We had some makeshift steps down there that you could skate down, dig it down, and skate on the canal. And it was nice, smooth ice. And the boys played tiki.
What's tiki?
Oh, don't you? Tiki is when you. It's a form of. I guess you would call it hockey now. They would have a stick in an old tin can.
Okay.
And you'd play tiki, and they would, you know, you'd have sides, and you'd try to get it back and forth. And but it was, the canal was a very living part of my life up until the time that, so, and I, when I, something that I look at every time we go across it to see whether it's high or low, as it's just part of my life.
Thank you very much.
So
thank you.